We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Let's welcome aboard Scotty Grambling right now. It is brought to you by Wall Hour Paint Design, Benjamin Moore's largest paint dealer in Westchester, Putnam, and also beautiful Rockland County. He is Scott Grambling, editor-in-chief, Draft Engine, Fantasy Football Magazine. Hop online, draftengine.com. Joins David and myself each and every week. Good morning, Scotty. Welcome to week two, brother.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing good. We're doing really well. And, you know, a lot of injuries across the NFL, which is driving fantasy players absolutely batty here. Before we get to all those injuries, let's focus in a little bit locally here. Jets and Giants first. Jets, offense looked putrid last week up in Buffalo. The entire team's performance was awful. Entertaining the Niners today. No Le'Veon Bell, no Jamison Crowder. They're both out. Is there any Jet for a fantasy player that's worthy of week two fantasy consideration?
Boy, it's pretty lean there, Moose. I think the only one you can even think of considering is tight end Chris Herndon, and that really has more to do with the fact that there's just such a lack of depth in fantasy at the tight end position. I mean, you look at Herndon, he caught the six passes, was targeted seven times, 37 yards against the Bills, with Crowder out and Bell out, Bell also being such a factor in the passing game. Maybe we can see a scenario here where Herndon it probably has as good a chance as anybody as being the most targeted guy in the offense today for the Jets. Certainly not a good matchup against a tough 49ers defense. I don't know what you can expect out of Herndon. If he had six catches for 37 yards last week, what are we going to get? Maybe nine catches for 42 yards this week or something? It's sort of a 3 yards and a cloud of dust passing game I think we're looking at here. But, you know, just based on volume, if you're in a PPR league, I think Herndon would be the only one to consider. I wouldn't consider him obviously over any of the top-tier guys at the position or even high-upside kind of second-tier guys like Denver's Noah Fant. But I think if your other options are, say, either the Tampa Bay tight ends, Gronkowski or Howard, or either the Minnesota tight ends, Rudolph or Irv Smith, I'd go with Herndon over those guys, and I would go with him over some low-floor veterans like Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, and Eric Ebron.
And what about on the 49ers side of the ball? There's so much uncertainty about their passing game. We know that George Kittle's out. Deebo Samuel is out. They went out and signed Mohamed Sanu this week. You know, just talk about on the offensive side of the ball in the passing game for the 49ers.
Yeah, it's crazy, David. It's like we're talking about a Week 11 game here with all the injuries on both sides of the ball. I can't remember a year in fantasy where you've had this many tough decisions because of injuries this early in the season. I know you talked about it earlier with the lack of a preseason and how much you believe that that has contributed to the injuries, and I'm certainly with you on that. I think when you look at the 49ers, rookie Brandon Ayuk is going to make his NFL debut. He was out last week. I think he becomes a de facto number one, but I would take a wait-and-see approach with him. I can't see, without a preseason, a rookie wide receiver who has been injured just isn't a way to go. I think Sanu maybe could become a factor in week three and four, but just coming off the street here for week two, I can't see how he's a fantasy option either. I mean, the interesting one here for the 49ers in the passing game might be Jordan Reed. With Kittle out, Jordan Reed, the oft-injured, concussed former Washington tight end, could end up being one of the top options in the passing game today. And just like we talked about with Herndon, the lack of depth at the tight end position, if you really are desperate and you want to roll the dice, maybe go with somebody like Jordan Reed, because you feel like somebody on both sides of the ball, somebody's going to get numbers, and you try and narrow it down, a process of elimination here. And to me, I think it could end up being Reed, who was as targeted as anybody in the passing game for San Francisco. But, you know, certainly in the running game, Raheem Mostert is a must-start, borderline top 10 fantasy running back for week two. If the 49ers get up in this game, which is certainly well within the realm of possibility, you could see them riding that running game in the second half. I think back to their playoff games last year when they were getting up early and riding the running game in the second half. And that could be big things for Mostert. And I think if you're looking at daily fantasy, he becomes a very favorable start this week.
All right, Scotty, how about to the Giants here on the road, Chicago? Golden Tate expected to be back active today for the Giants after missing week one. The impact of Tate, Darius Slayton has been a stud, you know, at wide receiver, was a revelation as a rookie fifth-round draft choice, coming off a very good opening week, couple touchdown grabs from Daniel Jones. How about the return of Tate to that wide receiving core for the Giants to go along with Darius Slayton and obviously Sterling Shepard?
Yeah, I think from a fantasy standpoint, it does hurt the value of both Slayton and Shepard. I think that from a real football standpoint, it's another option in the passing game for Daniel Jones, so that's good for the Giants. But it's another mouth to feed here. And even if Tate is just getting, say, five or six targets, those are five or six targets that are being taken away from the other guys. So, you know, I'm looking at somebody like Slayton as a mid-tier option. I think he's a borderline fantasy option today. I would not start him over other mid-tier options, like, say, a T.Y. Hilton, D.J. Chark, or Will Fuller. But I would go with Slayton over some of the lower upside guys like Julian Edelman or Arizona's Christian Kirk. I think that when you look at Shepard, he's somebody that I would not feel confident rolling out there with the return of Tate. And, you know, you also look at the tight end position. Look at Evan Engram, you know, caught just 2 of 7 targets for 9 yards in that loss to the Steelers. I know the Steelers' defense is more formidable than the Bears, but the Bears by no means are a weak defense. So I think with Engram, and again, we've talked about the lack of depth at tight end, but to me, I think he's going to get hurt by the return of Tate. You know, Engram finished 8th on the Giants in receiving yards on Monday night. It's just not a good sign there. So I've got Engram outside the top 10 tight ends this week. I think most weeks he'll be within the top 10, but if he doesn't become more of a factor in the passing game, and he definitely struggled against that Steelers defense, then I think you're going to have to start looking for other options down the road over somebody like Evan Engram.
Is there any beer aside from Allen Robinson that you would start in fantasy today up against the Giants defense?
You know, in the passing game, I think Anthony Miller is worthy of consideration, probably only in deep leagues. We just talked about the Giants receivers. I've got Anthony Miller behind Slayton, but ahead of Shepard. The other guy that I think is worthy of consideration is running back David Montgomery. I've got him outside the top 20 fantasy running backs, but inside the top 25. So in standard 12-team leagues, that would probably put him in a flex position ideally, but maybe an RB2 if in your draft you kind of ended up favoring receivers early in the draft and went a little deeper on the running backs. So I'd roll with Montgomery over, say, either the Ravens running backs and certainly over anybody in New England or Tampa Bay's backfields, but I'm not going to start Montgomery over other options like Todd Gurley, Miles Sanders, David Johnson, guys like that.
You know, Scotty, we're talking to Scott Gramley, Melusis and Deal with you, week two edition of Football Sunday, our fantasy football segment. Scott does a great job, editor-in-chief, Draft Engine, Fantasy Football Magazine, draftengine.com. Injuries, mentioned it in with regards to the Jets earlier, but a rash across the National Football League as far as wide receivers go. Thomas with the Saints, Godwin with the Buccaneers. We mentioned Deebo Samuel with the San Francisco 49ers. How do fantasy players deal with all these upper echelon wide receivers being out?
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, Tennessee's A.J. Brown is out. Yep, Kenny Galladay is out. It's just, there's so many injuries. You know, if you take it team by team, with Detroit, Marvin Jones becomes a must start. He's a great play in daily fantasy. He's obviously owned in the overwhelming majority of season-long leagues. I think if you're desperate for a replacement in PPR leagues, I would take a look at Danny Amendola. I mean, did have 5 catches for 81 yards against Chicago last week, led the team in receiving. Galladay was out last week as well. I think if you're in deeper leagues and you want to kind of go for a boomer bust pick, Quintez Cephas is expected to get a lot of playing time against the Packers today. He had a team-high 10 targets. He was on the field for 79% of the snaps last week with Galladay out. He's more of a guy on the perimeter like Galladay, and Matthew Stafford certainly has the arm to get him the ball. Unfortunately, he only caught 3 passes last week. I think, again, he's a huge risk, but he could be somebody that you use in daily fantasy if you're looking for a really cheap guy. I think if you look at Tampa, to me, Scotty Miller, after seeing 6 targets last week from Tom Brady, would seem to be the first in line for increased opportunity. The issue there in Tampa, though, is with Mike Evans now seemingly healthy. It definitely didn't look like he was 100% last week. It's Evans. You've got both of the tight ends in there. So for me, Miller, again, kind of, these are all sort of desperation plays, but there are some owners in desperate positions. With Tennessee, Corey Davis is still available in a lot of leagues. He's been battling a hamstring injury, was questionable on Monday night, but he ended up catching 7 passes for 101 yards. With A.J. Brown out, I would expect him to be the top option. And then an Amendola-type slot receiver for Tennessee is Adam Humphries. He had 6 catches for 47 yards over the Broncos. The thing about the Titans is without Derrick Henry being much of a threat in the passing game, there are targets to go around. And really the one I like the best is tight end Jonnu Smith. He caught the 4 passes for 36 yards and a touchdown against the Broncos. New Orleans, Emmanuel Sanders becomes a must start with Michael Thomas out. Traquan Smith to me is more along the lines of somebody like Detroit Cephas, whereas a very high risk, high reward guy, more of a deep threat. I could see him kind of maybe only getting his production if Taysom Hill runs one of those gadget plays and throws the ball deep. I'm not even sure that Drew Brees' arm strength can get it past Traquan Smith, get it to him down the field. So to me, a very high risk, high reward guy when you look at the fact that New Orleans has tight end in Cook, and they have a running back in Alvin Kamara who are huge parts of that passing game.
Indianapolis lost their starting running back in Marlon Mack last week for the season after tearing his Achilles. With that said, do you think the Colts rookie running back Jonathan Taylor can be considered an every week fantasy starter?
Yeah, I really do, David. And I think this week against the Vikings, which just didn't look like the Vikings defense of old last week. I know they've had a lot of turnover on defense. I think he's definitely a starter for today, Jonathan Taylor. And I think down the road, he's going to be, made, if not inside the top 10 fantasy running back, certainly inside the top 15. He just gets a lot of opportunity now with the injury to Marlon Mack. Now, you do have Nyheim Hines, who's going to play a role on third down, but just not enough of a role, I think. That went from a three-headed monster from a fantasy standpoint to a bit more clear-cut, Taylor being the early down back, Hines being the third down back. And even on first and second down with Taylor in the game, I could see him being part of that passing game because Phillip Rivers, we saw it last year with the Chargers, really likes to dump the ball off. He did it last year with Austin Eckler. And this year, it's going to be Hines probably more targeted than Taylor in the passing game. But I still think Taylor could get his 3, maybe 4 catches per game. Add that to what's likely to be 17 or 18 carries, and you have the makings of a top 15 fantasy running back for sure from this point to the end of the season.
Scotty, fantasy players love rookie running backs. You mentioned Taylor, who's now going to get that opportunity with Mack being out. What about other rookie running backs? Cam Akers around the National Football League, he would be one example, and there's numerous that could be worthy of Week 2 starter status.
Yeah, it's a very iffy situation. I mean, obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the clear-cut starter in Kansas City with Damian Williams having opted out, and we saw that in the Thursday night opener. But, Moose, when you talk about those other rookie running backs, and there is a lot, they're all just kind of stuck in timeshares. You've got Buffalo's Zach Moss sharing time with Devin Singletary. Washington's Antonio Gibson ended up losing goal line carries to Peyton Barber. Detroit has a bit of a three-headed monster there with Adrian Peterson and Kerryon Johnson. So DeAndre Swift is a tough guy to start. And Cam Akers really took a back seat to somebody like Malcolm Brown. I think really the most favorable rookie to me outside of Edwards-Helaire and Jonathan Taylor right now is Jacksonville's James Robinson, the undrafted rookie free agent. And it's really just because of the volume he's going to get. I don't think he's a great fantasy start. I have him outside the top 25 running backs for this week. And it's a lot to do with the fact that they're facing a Tennessee defense and could be behind in the second half. I think Robinson most weeks, even though he could reach 20 carries, is going to struggle to reach 100 yards from scrimmage. But for me, you know, when you're talking about in that group between Moss, Gibson, Swift, Akers, at least Robinson has a stranglehold on that starting position and is going to get the overwhelming bulk of the carries in Jacksonville. That makes him an option in deep leagues.
Pittsburgh's hosting Denver on a short week for both of those teams. And after Benny Snell had that impressive performance on Monday Night Football up against the Giants, is he a must start in today's fantasy?
Yeah, I'm not sure he's a must start, but he's certainly worthy of consideration, David. I would start him over James Conner if you have a choice between the two. I know Conner was questionable for most of the week. He is going to play, but his presence is really what kind of knocks Snell's upside down a bit. And you combine that with the fact that the Steelers' offensive line is really banged up. DeCastro is going to be out again. He missed the game against the Giants. But now Wisniewski was placed on IR after that pectoral injury he suffered against the Giants. And the Steelers also lost starting right tackle Zach Banner for the season. And, you know, David, you know better than anybody the need for continuity on the offensive line. I think it's far more important this year without there having been any preseason games. Normally it's those second string guys that are getting the reps in the second, third, and fourth quarter of the preseason games. They haven't had that. So that makes Snell more of a risk than he would seem to be on the surface. But by all means, I kind of put him right in that area a little ahead of David Montgomery and ahead of the guys I said I would start, behind Montgomery. But he's kind of in that area between top 20 and top 25. Snell is among fantasy running backs this week.
Scotty Gramling, DraftEngine.com, Editor-in-Chief, Draft Engine Fantasy Football Magazine. Scotty, the Colts took us all down in the knockout pools last week.
Brutal. Brutal. There's no other word for it.
Hey, Scott, listen.
There's a second word for it.
Yeah, that is. Hey, Scotty, good luck today in all your fantasy football leagues, and we'll chat with you next Sunday. All right, brother?
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.